We've just gone through a milestone in U.S. history, an attempted self-coup organized by the president.
We saw President Trump call forth and unleash fascist mobs to storm the U.S. Capitol.
This is a moment in which we have to exercise our own personal integrity in a collective way.
Welcome to Inside Without Now, a podcast brought to you by volunteers with Refuse Fascism. I'm Sam Goldman, one of those volunteers and host of the show, bringing you a special edition this Friday. Today, I don't have to recap all the events of this week. If you're listening to this podcast, you know Trump instigated an assault on the Capitol as part of his ongoing coup attempt, a fascist coup attempt. He's still refusing to step down. Pence is still refusing to remove him through the 25th Amendment. And while there are many calls for his removal finally being issued by politicians, the media, and business leaders, with 12 days to go, this increasingly dangerous bully and his raging followers can still do tremendous damage. It's very unlikely that he will be removed and completely repudiated. His fascist program and his fascist movement defanged, without massive mobilization, without people in the streets demanding Trump Pence out now. We're sharing today a press conference from yesterday featuring prominent voices of conscience and Refuse Fascism leaders discussing Trump's fascist coup and the call for mobilization and unity across political perspectives to demand Trump Pence out now. In the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America. You'll hear from Coco Das, Cornel West, Andy Z, Rosanna Arquette, Lily Witkowski, Reverend William Lamar, Arturo Farrell, Ruchira Gupta, Steve Hofstadter, and Jody Sweeten. Saturday, tomorrow, January 9th, Refuse Fascism is calling for protests nationwide. Trump Pence, out now. In the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America. Find a protest location near you at refusefascism.org or get materials there and organize a protest in your area.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for being here. This is a beautiful lineup. Welcome to members of the press and to all the participants and to our viewers and listeners. We're live streaming this over social media and on YouTube. You are here to hear statements and reflections on the extraordinary events that happened yesterday and to discuss what our responsibility is at a historic time like this, at a turning point in history that is full of extreme danger and that requires us to act. We're going to discuss these ideas. Now is the time to act. No to a fascist coup. Trump Pence out now. In the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America. Some of the people you're going to be hearing from are members of the editorial board of refusefascism.org, including myself and Andy Z. People who signed a pledge to the people of the world in the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America, which appeared as a full-page ad in the New York Times back in December. And some very courageous people publicly put their names on this and took a public stand on this fascist movement that is represented by the Trump-Pence regime. And there will be a chance at the end to ask a few questions if we have a little bit of time, but we have a really exciting lineup of people that are going to make brief statements. Members of the Refuse Fascism editorial board, myself and Andy, after we've heard from all the participants, we'll try to field a few questions. First, we're going to hear from Andy Z, a co-initiator of RefuseFascism.org and host of the RNL Revolution Nothing Less show. He's going to make some opening remarks, and then we'll continue from there.
I'm so glad that all of you could be part of what we're doing today. This is a very significant lineup of people, and we have a tremendous task in front of us to motivate and to mobilize masses of people to act in this moment that is just so pregnant with both danger and possibility. I am going to make a few remarks to try to set the context for this press conference. This is based on the discussions at the editorial board of Refuse Fascism. I'm speaking for that editorial board. As Coco said, I'm the host of the Revolution Nothing Less show. But this press conference today is for Refuse Fascism to really bring out what we have to do and what has just happened. We've just gone through a milestone in U.S. history, an attempted self-coup organized by the president. And that is unprecedented. Okay. Anyway, for now, and overwhelmingly likely, this coup has been defeated. But the fascist movement that we have been enduring for 4 years at the highest levels of power in the U.S. and thus of world power will likely be set back for a while. But that may only be a matter of time. We face real danger in the next 13 days and a very stark reality for the whole next period. So the message of today's press conference is that the decent people, all those who are opposed to injustice, who care about and who want to work for the future of humanity, that is in real existential peril and is even in greater peril under the rule of the Trump-Pence fascist regime and whatever formation this fascism might take in the future. Now, at last, people do need to stand up again in appropriate ways in the public square. Before I go further with my remarks, I'm honored to be able to ask the actress and director and activist, Rosanna Arquette, to read the statement that some of us who are signatories of the Refuse Fascism Pledge to the People of the World issued last night. So I wonder if, Rosanna, you could read that now, and then I will make some further comments on the developments since.
On Wednesday, January 6th, we saw President Trump call forth and unleash fascist mobs to storm the U.S. Capitol. This was an attempt at a coup. It did not succeed this time. But the danger from even a failed coup is to be taken seriously, setting the stage for them to come back sooner or later to re-seize power with or without Trump. It leaves a block of elected officials who view and act as if the Biden administration is illegitimate and an armed street fighting force on call to dominate the public square. They will continue to fight for their white supremacist, xenophobic, and patriarchal program. And they will continue to undermine the very concept of truth, leaving tens of millions to be susceptible to the calls of demagogues and the vilest conspiracy theories. Trump is still in power. There are 13 days in which he and or his followers present a real and present danger to humanity. The question is, will the decent people make clear our determination to act to stop this fascist danger? A united public show of revulsion against Trump and a repudiation of his regime's fascist program through nonviolent, sustained protest and resistance has been overdue for years. Biden won, but the streets and the discourse has been dominated by Trump and his followers to create, to seed the public square, and it has consequences. We saw this yesterday. That's why on Thursday, January 7th at 5 p.m. in cities across the country, Refuse Fascism is calling for a safe, social distance, nonviolent protests, and please wear a mask, and masks will be, PPE will be provided. It is time for people to stand up and say no more no to the fascist coup. Trump, Pence, out now. They lost. They need to pack their bags and go.
Thank you, Rosanna. Let me just say this. It does seem that a large section of the people who rule this country have decided to distance themselves now from Trump after yesterday. And like I said, likely this particular coup d'etat or a self-coup, auto coup, will be defeated, although it's not over yet. And there's a lot of damage he can do in 13 days. And there's a lot of reason why he should be removed from power right away. But let's just pull the lens back a little bit. We have to look at nearly 150 Republican congressmen, including two leaders of the Republican delegation, along with seven Republican senators, still voted to illegally deprive Biden of office, even after that mob had been put down. And an overnight poll cited in the Washington Post claimed that Republican voters surveyed favored the reactionary rampage by a 45 to 43% margin. The fascist organization and the movements are still forged, and they will be, and they are already, and they will be filled with revenge, and they will now have their martyr, not only in Trump, but in the QAnon woman who was killed in this assault, and they will have a battle cry. Well, we don't have much time for a lot of American history. If those who recall the defeat at the Alamo became a battle cry, remember the Alamo, and we should be cognizant of the possibility and probably the likelihood of Remember 2020 will be a rallying cry for these fascist forces for some years to come. Now, you've heard for the press and for others who are watching us for the first time that Refuse Fascism in its name and has said this is fascism. And just very briefly, Refuse Fascism has said that fascism is not just a gross combination of horrific reactionary policies. It is a qualitative change in how society is governed. Fascism foments and relies on xenophobic nationalism, racism, misogyny, and the aggressive reinstitution of oppressive traditional values. And fascist mobs and threats of violence are unleashed to build the movement and to consolidate power. And as we saw yesterday, to attempt to seize power back after they have lost in a legitimate election. But I think it's important to say that we have to understand that this core is going to continue to exist. There are tens of millions of people in this country who have been led, organized, and shaped in a fascist direction. They have their own media, their schools, their institutions, and they've been conditioned to view all of the people on this call, Black people, Latino people, people of color, Native American people, LGBTQ people, all these people as illegitimate and undeserving of a voice. This is a continuation in a very real sense of the Confederacy. I'll make just two points about that. One, you saw it. You saw those Confederate flags. So yes, along with the American flag and the Trump flag, you saw the Confederate flag there. And then you had Ted Cruz in his remarks invoking 1876 as a precedent for overturning this election and the deal that was made to deny people the rights that had been won in the Civil War and to begin the betrayal of Reconstruction. So the point of our press conference is to say there can be no more waiting. There is a need for the decent people to make clear our determination to stop this fascist danger, which has been overdue for years now. And where does this term, the decent people, come from? It comes from an example in Nazi Germany where a scholar said that in a particular town, they could have prevented fascism but for one thing, after one family had been deported, taken to the camps, a second family stood up and they were taken. Nobody else did anything. He said there was an opportunity then for the decent people to form a united front around it and to oppose this. That's what we need to do. There can be no more waiting. Today, what we saw yesterday is the payment for the passivity in the face of Charlottesville. Passivity in the face of refugee children ripped from their parents and abandoned in cages. Passivity in terms of the violent attacks and unanswered defamation of the movement for Black lives. So now we do have to learn our lesson, and now has to be the time to get together in nonviolent, massive numbers, but to stand up now. And yes, it should be done safely in terms of the danger of COVID. In some cities, we are calling for car caravans. Other cities, there's ways to do outdoor large protests that are safe distance and also wearing masks, as Rosanna brought forward. But to wait longer, to hold back now, would amount to be giving clear freedom to these people to continue to dominate the public square. So today at 5 o'clock, we're having protests in several cities, but especially the editorial board wants to call for massive demonstrations on Saturday, this coming Saturday, 48 hours. And we're asking all the other participants in this call and many, many others to go reach out to these movements that have not taken to the streets, that are busy signing petitions for impeachment or for the 25th Amendment, all of which is good. But there comes a time when you have to put something on the line. We have seen over 4 years, if we simply rely on the normal political processes, they will be squandered and abandoned. That was true in the impeachment when they wouldn't call witnesses, and it will be true here too. So this is a call, an urgent call for people to stand up and to stand with us, to come bring your demands, bring your heart, and bring your soul.
Thank you. That was Andy Z, co-initiator of RefuseFascism.org and host of The Ardell Show, and Rosanna Arquette, actress and activist. We're going to be hearing from Lily Wachowski, filmmaker, Dr. Cornel West, philosopher and author, Reverend William Lamar, pastor of the AME Church in Washington, D.C., Arturo O'Farrell, jazz musician, Ruchira Gupta, journalist and activist, Steve Hofstetter, who is a comedian, and Jodie Sweetin, actress and activist. And after that, we'll take some questions and I'll be making some closing remarks. So next, we're going to hear a statement from Lily Wachowski.
It's difficult to find your words when you're consumed by so much rage at this moment. You know, these folks in this room have been talking about the fascism, the fascist movement of the Republican Party, the fascism of Donald Trump for the past 5 years, and it has largely been ignored. And here we are at this moment in time when, after all of these folks have been saying the coup is going to happen, the coup is happening, it's a rolling coup. That's why he's setting up the Supreme Court folks, propping up his agenda in the court system. They've been gaslit to make us believe that we're all being shrill. And so here we are at this moment in time where the threshold has been crossed. What that allows is for a critical eye to be cast on what this movement is, what this fascist movement is, where its origins have come from. And that is the Confederacy. This is a white supremacist movement, and the Confederacy, it has direct ties to the Confederacy. It is rampant. The rot is rampant through our legislation and all of our bodies of government. You can see it when the police allow the Trump forces into the Capitol building. You can see it in the way that the police have responded to the Trump forces in DC versus nonviolent Black Lives Matter movements and various anti-war protests. You know, you see it in the way that the Republican Party refuses to change the monuments of Confederate generals from our military bases. You can see it in the college football name of the Tennessee Volunteers. The Volunteers are the Volunteers for the Confederacy. So in my point of view, the Republican Party is synonymous with the Confederacy. And anyone who isn't exiting en masse of the Republican Party basically is upholding this institution. You know, I think that we as citizens have to take to the public square. We've got to call this out. But I think that we can also like cast an eye onto how big the octopus is and where all those tentacles go. And, you know, we have to like cast our eye towards the arm of their propaganda in Fox News, in Newsmax, in OAN. And like, we have to bring our protest to those organizations as well. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how to do this. It's about all of us participating and standing up in this moment. Hopefully we will all have the backbone to do so.
That was Lily Wachowski, filmmaker, and Lily had an excellent piece that was in Lit Hub back in December, or it was in November actually, and that was reposted in Variety. It's definitely worth checking out. Maybe somebody can put that in the chat for people. So next we're going to hear from Dr. Cornel West.
It's a blessing and an honor for me to be here and to stand alongside my magnificently courageous and visionary human beings in solidarity against evil, against this crime of humanity, which is the fascist movement, which has always been part of America, but is now surfacing. And to be able to go right after my dear sister, Lily, one of the great artists in the American empire who's had the courage to tell the truth, and that condition of truth is to allow suffering to speak. It flows out of nobility of a family and so forth. We have precious memories in the Matrix down in Australia. And I see Arturo is there, of course, Brother Andy, my brother always, but Brother Lamar, Black Prophetic Church Strong, and the others who I don't know as well. But I want to be very brief about this, that This is a moment in which we have to exercise our own personal integrity in a collective way, grounded in a solidarity with the least of these, those Frantz Fanon called the wretched of the earth, because fascism is about the rule of big money and big military to convince everyday people to scapegoat the most vulnerable rather than confront the most powerful, to downplay the predatory capitalist core of it, downplay the white supremacist public face and the other vicious forms of xenophobia. It is anti-Jewish. It is anti-Muslim. It is anti-Arab. It is anti-Palestinian. It is anti-trans. It is anti-gay. It is anti-lesbian. It is anti- all of those castes is degraded other. And because the milquetoast centrist neoliberals in the establishment of the Democratic Party have not been able to deliver the basic good of food and shelter and education and Medicare, you end up with these fascists and neo-fascist fellow citizens, many of them catching hell, but directing their rage against the vulnerable rather than being part of a multiracial struggle trying to overcome the predatory capitalism and with its imperial tentacle. And so I won't say any more. I'm just glad to be here. And I stand here as a revolutionary Christian in the legacy of my mama, grandmama, Martin Luther King Jr., Fannie Lou Hamer, and a whole lot of folk, too. I include Aretha Franklin in that, too.
That was Dr. Cornell West, and I'm very glad you included Aretha Franklin in there. Next, we're going to hear from William H. Lamar, pastor of AME Church in Washington, D.C.
Thank you, Sister Coco, and it's a joy to be with all of you. It's an honor to follow someone whose thought and work in the world lit my prophetic fire and imagination, Dr. West. I want to begin by saying it's important for us to understand the politics of imagination. Those of us who were gathered today have refused to allow our imaginations to be colonized by the American Empire and by the fascist nightmare in which we find ourselves at this moment. We continue, in the words of Langston Hughes, to dream a world. So the dreaming of what is possible when human beings together exist in a multi-ethnic, multi-religious, multi-racial political economy, something that has yet to fully flower in the United States of America. When the Capitol was stormed, when the coup occurred yesterday, I was at Metropolitan AME Church, the church that I'm pleased to serve. I knew that they were coming, because they had come before and defiled our property. I got there at 6 a.m. on yesterday and stayed until our security team begged me to leave. Now, this is interesting. You saw all of the symbolism yesterday, Confederate flags, Trump flags, all of the other symbolism. They raised a cross and they also put up a noose. And we need to be very clear that they were deploying symbols. They were dispatching symbols to communicate that these were the theological and the philosophical, the impetus behind what it is that they were doing. Now, they said that it was about God. They said it was about saving the nation. They said they flew flags that said Jesus saves. But on yesterday, our chief of security, who is a middle-aged gentleman, good-looking, strong, strapping, he had on his uniform, his vest, his weapon. There was one of the ladies who had come to support Mr. Trump in the coup. She was in a wheelchair. She was being wheeled by him. She stopped in front of him and she said, "We are here because we hate niggers." Now, if you pay attention to all that has been said, what Lily said, what Dr. West said, it is very clear that this movement is not so much about liberty, not so much about freedom, not so much about God, as it is about fascist leadership and purging undesirables. The American thirst and hunger toward what I call niggerization, creating undesirable, dehumanizing Black, Brown, Native, LGBTQIA. We have to be clear that that is underneath what is happening. And so I'll offer two things and I'll stop. Our work is to continue to imagine the new world, to disrupt the present order by mobilizing and by turning out human beings willing to risk, willing to put their lives on the line. And finally, we must construct together the new world. It is not enough to imagine, not enough to disrupt, but we must build together what is possible. And our gathering today of atheists, of Christians, of people of all faith shows that that is possible, regardless of what we see. And so I thank you for the opportunity of being with you and look forward to building that new world together.
Thank you so much, Bill. I think it was really heavy to hear about the experience of being inside the church yesterday. And Bill has also written pieces for Washington Post. And I also want to urge people to check out a roundtable that was with Cornell and Bill, Andy, and Sansara Taylor, another co-initiator of Refuse Fascism. It was a very rich discussion. You can find that also at refusefascism.org. We've been hearing from people who signed a pledge to the people of the world that was published in the New York Times, as well as other people who see the urgency of taking a stand at this moment. Next, we are going to hear from musician Arturo O'Farrell.
Thank you, Coco. I'm going to be brief because so many powerful words have been spoken by Rosanna, Brother Cornell, and Brother Lamar. But I'll tell you quickly how do you equate this murderous regime? How do you equate it with sanity or any kind of understanding of humanity? This all began for me really in 9/11 when the towers were burning, and I went to get my kids out of their school. And I looked at them, I shielded them from breathing smoke that was filled with body parts. And I shielded them and I said to them, the people who run this world, the people who run this government, have no shame about killing us and hurting us for profit, for profiteering, for corporate interests, for the benefit of the wealth. And it hurt me to say that to my kids. It hurt me to say that because I knew that in deepest part of my soul that it was true. That this governance that we have, this fashion, the system that we are under is built for profiteering, for corporocracy, for people to, for the benefit of a very, very select and very small percent of the world. That is what fascism is about. Stealing and hurting and killing people of color, people from underrepresented, marginalized communities to profit. And the biggest, I mean, look at the communities that are being affected by COVID the most strongly. And yesterday to me was a manifestation of this hatred. And all I can think of is that it's just pure abject hatred. It's a continuation of the hatred that we've seen my entire life. And I've watched young men of color be killed in New York. My brain busted wide open when Romali Graham's life was taken up by an NYPD officer that was the same age as my son. And so this is not just a chance to speak out publicly. This is a chance and an opportunity to call others to understand that this is a murderous regime that will think nothing about putting a price on your head and won't think twice about taking your life. We've got, 13 days of this madman? He needs to go. Pence needs to go. The whole thing needs to be thrown out. Every single one of those representatives that contested the election need to go. And the idea that Black Lives Matter protesters would be met with military-style policing while these protesters were allowed to calmly walk into the Capitol is just beyond belief. It is complicit. Don't fool yourself. This is complicit violence by the people that are in charge of our lives. And it's based on racism and on a socioeconomic terrorism. And so I urge everyone here to do all that they can to go out and peacefully march with masks, but be present in every way that you can. Speak loud, speak often, and let people know that this is a fascist regime and it must go.
Okay, thank you so much, Arturo. On that note, I want to interrupt for a minute to say that on Saturday, Andy mentioned this, that Refuse Fascism is organizing protests to say that this fascist regime must go. Pelosi is vocally now saying that Trump needs to go, about invoking the 25th. There is a moment right now where people really do feel like enough is enough, but we have to back that up with our actions, nonviolent protests in the street saying Trump and Pence need to go, the regime needs to go, Trump needs to go out now, that in the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America. I'll speak to that a little bit more in the closing comments. Next, we are going to hear from Ruchira Gupta, who is an activist and a journalist. Welcome, Ruchira.
Hello, everyone. It's such an honor to be with all of you on this panel. Your courage and commitment has influenced me for many years, especially Dr. West. Of course, I've read everything, heard you speak often. Arturo and Rosanna, you've been friends. So it's just wonderful to be with this group and hear your very powerful remarks. I am a journalist. I was born in India, lived in India, and saw the rise of fascism as a journalist in India. I was covering the demolition of a mosque by fascist forces who wanted to divide India into Hindus and Muslims. And I was nearly strangled to death on that day. I decided to go on and testify, and I faced the backlash again and again by either people like those who stormed the Capitol Hill yesterday, trying to stop me from going to office, vandalizing my car, attacking me, following me, stalking me, all of that. But also by people in the government who would try to trivialize my testimony or say it was fake and create a counter narrative to talk about the fact that people like me who were speaking truth to power were seditious or anti-national. I have faced the brunt for more than 20 years and continue to write against the rise of fascism in India, which has based itself right now on Islamophobia, but has also crushed people from certain caste groups called Dalits and others, using the police now. Initially, it was just people like the Fry Corps who were part of the political party in India of Hindutva fascists who would go around like vigilantes, beating and killing and trivializing and invisibilizing anybody they wanted to think of as the other. Now, these people have come to power, and for the last 10 years, what we see is the use of the police to crush minority groups, to turn them into second-class citizens, to muzzle the media, to close down civil society, to create a hierarchy of control so that there is a majority, which they call themselves, can control and rule India in a certain way, based again on caste and race superiority and religious superiority. The one thing that I have learned from my experiences, and which is what I want to share with all the Americans who are listening in today's press conference, is that if those who have come out so openly today to attack Capitol Hill are not taken seriously and not held accountable, then you will fight for every inch of democratic space in the years to come. In India, the same thing happened 25 years ago. We did not take it so seriously. We said, oh, India is too chaotic for fascism. Every Indian is very argumentative. So, you know, we will not allow the fascism to happen. Our democracy is too entrenched. You know, one group of people cannot take over. Hindutva is not the country of India. India has multiple religions, multiple gods. They did, because we did not hold them accountable. They were never punished for the demolition of the mosque. They were never punished for the race riots or the caste riots and the religious riots that they unleashed on minorities after that, to the point that the 1 year that I've just spent in India, I have had to see every journalist friend who speaks up against this regime being interrogated. Some of them are in jail. One journalist friend was shot dead for investigating a story against this regime on the porch of a house while she was turning the key. I have seen civil society crushed. The bank accounts of most NGOs in India who do any work which is not feeding into the racial superiority myth of the BJP, of the Hindutva, and upper caste Brahmin and Thakur folk, every NGO's account has been closed down. They cannot function. The opposition is either blackmailed, opposition parties, or, you know, with all kinds of skeletons that they have in their cupboard, or simply their leaders have been bought over with money openly. And so opposition is being decimated as I speak. And this is the fascist playbook that I see being replicated in the United States. Textbooks have been rewritten already in America. This happened in India 20 years ago. The police have been given uncontrolled power. I saw this happen yesterday during the attack of Capitol Hill. The police did not show up. And the president of America was unrepentant, inviting people to come and attack Capitol Hill. The National Guards, of course, did not come. This is a marker of fascism. When the police do not protect those who are protecting the democratic institutions. The other marker of fascism, of course, is the racial assault, which is constant. And of course, that is the fundamental base on which American fascism is based and coming out of slavery. But also the corporate capitalism, the unbridled corporate capitalism, which is so tied into your military industry. And there is, again, no regulation of that. You know, Trump goes and makes deals. He promotes the sale of arms to countries like Modi. Goldman Sachs goes to India and meets with our political leaders and bringing us to the brink of war with China so that they can control profit, they can control greed, and they can control their hold on power. And the same Trump is supported. And yesterday you might have seen that there was an Indian flag among those people who were assaulting the Capitol Hill. So there is definitely a link between what's going on in India and what's happening in America. And we must learn from the mistakes that the democratic forces have made in India, because the moment we let this go as something which is fringe, which is trivial, and do not hold these people accountable, they will gain one more inch of space. The counter narratives that they are creating is exactly the narrative that they've created in India, you know, talking about the invent phrases as they go along. So, for example, yesterday I heard Josh Hawley use a phrase called electoral integrity. Now, they are going to keep talking about this. And unless we unite and show up and say that this is fake, this is a made up phrase, and electoral integrity is based on what? Like, you know, it's after all based on the ballot. So we will have to prepare much more to spread information, to give out facts. In India, we had to create something called alt news, in which we had to actually counter every myth that the fascist right in India has been promoting, and you will have to do that. So every institution that you take for granted will be assaulted right now. For the next 2 years, till your midterms, you know, you're going to have a regime which is going to be out of power, and so less accountable, and they are definitely going to try to organize riots, as we call them in India. But basically here it will be race riots. In India, it was Hindu-Muslim riots. Just assault and create flashpoint after flashpoint, build the polarization so that they can organize around that. And this is, again, something which we have to watch out for, which is why every protest has to be non-violent, but people have to show up, and we have to have enough literature to be able to give out and talk to people to create bridges and hold those who attack Capitol Hill accountable. And they must be punished, and we have to make a concerted demand for that. Because if they are let go, they will rise again and again. Fascism eroticizes violence, and this regime is going to eroticize violence for all these young people who stormed the Capitol Hill yesterday. Thank you.
Thank you, Ruchira. It's so important that you were here. And it's very important for us to hear from international voices, people who have experienced this in countries around the world where fascism is on the rise. It has risen to power in India, Turkey, countries all over the world. So it is a global phenomenon for reasons, you know, I don't want to get into right here. So we have two more speakers. I want to ask members of the media who are here, if you have questions coming up, please feel free to post them in the chat. Our next speaker is Steve Hofstetter, who is a comedian, and I'm going to hand it over to you, Steve. I'm glad you could be here. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And, you know, it's certainly an honor to speak after such incredible artists and thinkers. And when I watched the attempted coup yesterday, it immediately transported me back. I had dealt with something. I'm Jewish, and I had had a clip that was passed around by a bunch of neo-Nazis, a bunch of white supremacists, whatever word we want to use to describe them, a bunch of pretty horrible people. And I dealt with hundreds of death threats, and the Daily Stormer had their front page that said kike comedian as the first two words of their headline. And I ended up speaking to the FBI about it, and I learned a lot about hate crime in a way that I didn't want to. And one of the things that I realized going through that was these people were trying to quiet me. And the response to that is to get louder. And so something that I've been speaking to fellow artists about as much as possible has been speaking up and doing something about what's happening and not worrying about your brand. And that is something that we see a lot from artists. We see a lot of artists worried about, oh, what is this going to do for business? We see companies saying, what is it going to do for business? And frankly, if being a good person negatively affects your brand is garbage. what I wanted to contribute to this, if anything, is encouragement to my fellow artists to realize that being a good person eventually is good for business. Being a good person is good for you, and it's good for everyone. And we need to speak up more. We need to use our voices. We need to use our followings. And we need to not worry about what other people will think of us, because we'll know that we are doing the right thing. I was a history major in college, and one of my favorite things that I learned was that when Lincoln was assassinated, Booth thought he would be a conquering hero, because there were a lot of people who talked about assassinating him before. There were entire newspapers whose whole brand was devoted to getting rid of Lincoln. And instead of being a conquering hero, he was a fugitive, because what he didn't realize is the vast majority of people out there don't actually want violence. The vast majority of people out there don't actually want things like we saw yesterday. And we need to appeal to those people.
Thank you, Steve. That's another powerful story. So our final speaker is Jodi Sweetin. Jodi is an actress and activist and has been with us in Refuse Fascism for a while in the LA chapter. Welcome, Jodi.
Hi, everyone. I just want to say what an incredible honor it is to have been asked to participate in this and to be with such an amazing, inspiring, powerful group of people. And, you know, my shirt that I'm wearing today says, there are those who will change history, and there are those who will be sad they didn't try. And much like Steve was saying, I'm here to make a difference. I'm here to be a good human. And I think we need to appeal to the majority of good humans and the humanity that's out there, and meet this force and resistance with mass nonviolent presence and protest. Because right now we have had terrorists take over the country. And I think, much like Ruchira said, words are important. Words and how we describe things are the essence of how we feel about them. And so I have made it incredibly important in my describing of all this to constantly be calling them terrorists, because that is what we are, or what they are. And what we have done as a society is interpreted that word into meaning brown-skinned, other, and it happens in a far-off country. And I think 9/11 and yesterday have been huge eye-opening experiences to the American people. And I had a conversation with my daughter as this was going on. My daughter's 12, and she was sitting on the end of my bed, and I was sitting on my knees watching this all unfold yesterday. And she started talking about how angry she was that they had taken the American flag and used it as a form of hate, and used it as now something that doesn't unite us, but divides us. And she said, I hate that they've taken the American flag and turned it into, you know, a symbol of division and all of this. And I turned and I looked at her and I said, you know, I think it always has been. And what we're confronting and dealing with right now is the reality and the understanding of the deep fibers of racism and white supremacy and terror that have been built into our country and overlooked. And so we're afraid to name it. We're afraid to call it, because somehow we think that we're immune to it on American soil, that it can't happen here, that we don't want to call it domestic terrorism because that feels invasive. It feels like we've lost. And the important thing is to understand that, you know, much like Steve was talking about, the majority of people do not want violence. They don't want people running through the Capitol. But, you know, watching men in sweatshirts that said Camp Auschwitz on them, and, you know, the 6MWNE, which is a reference to 6 million was not enough. They were in the front. They were sitting in the speaker's chair. They were in the Confederate flag was flown in our Capitol for the first time in 2021. And I think we all need to realize that the Confederate flag, even during the Civil War, did not make it into the Capitol building, and it made it there yesterday. What has happened? What has happened to us? We have gone backwards, and we have allowed this to flourish, you know. And my concern has always been, you know, I've been working with Refuse Fascism now for the past almost year, but my fear and my concern is that we will begin to rest on our laurels, that suddenly when in the inauguration happens is that we will become comfortable again. And I think what you know, everyone has spoken to, Brother Cornell and Steve and Mr. Lamar, like we have, Reverend Lamar, we have spoken to the fact that this is not going anywhere. This is a foundation upon which much of our country has been built. And we are seeing now what happens when we try and build a new foundation. There's resistance, there's hatred, there's all of that. But, you know, I have been out in the streets protesting. I have been out on the front lines. I have, you know, and what I watched yesterday, I was so angry. I was on my knees just shaking. And my younger daughter came in, who's 10. She said, "Why are you so angry?" And I said, "I'm so angry because I've stood next to peaceful protesters and watched them get a rubber bullet in the face, because I have watched police officers stand by as others are beaten. I've watched police officers shatter friends' ankles with their shields, and none of that is happening here." And I was angry. And I was so glad that that was one of the first things that people focused on, was that this was a marked difference from the Black Lives Matter protests. You cannot deny this anymore. You can't say that they didn't know how to protect it, because they sure as hell did in June. And so, you know, watching all of this come to the surface, you know, I watched yesterday here in LA, a Black woman was held back by one man while another man intentionally maced her in the face. There's a photograph of it, and the police stood by. And when she tried to leave, they offered no assistance. This is what is happening. This is what I have seen with my own eyes. I have watched cars plow through protests and police pull them over and let them go. We need to awaken the decent people that hear things like that and are horrified, that hear what happened to Reverend Lamar's security man and are horrified. Being horrified behind our screens is not enough. You know, I am very active on social media, but my preference is to be out fighting this head on. And I think we need to remind ourselves that our presence has to be shown, whether that's car caravans with, you know, all of this, whether it's building a, you know, perimeter around other protests with our cars to show solidarity and force. These things need to happen. And I think the horror of what is unfolding has unfortunately become a time for us to take action, to take real action, and to use an unfortunate terrorist attack to be the thing that sparks us back into action. We cannot ignore this. You know, so many on the left are just wanting to, you know, and I tweeted it yesterday. I said, "You guys still want to reach across the aisle? Are we still doing that? Are we still, you know?" I understand that this country needs to come together, but as long as what happened yesterday is punished in a different manner than peaceful protesters are, fascism is not going anywhere. And, you know, now people are finally starting to use the term fascism. And suddenly, you know, those of us who are on this call are no longer alarmists. We're no longer the crazy people who are screaming about an attempted coup. We are the truth seers and the foretellers of what was going to happen. And as we sit here and know, as Ruchir was talking about in India, as we know these things unfold, I think the calls to action and showing up and being present, socially distanced, safe, in a car, however we have to do it, bombard the media with the message that the American people are here and we are fighting against fascism and white supremacy. Because I truly think that that is the ideal of the majority of people in this country. And right now, we have a section of the population who has overtaken our humanity and we've lost it. And if we don't fight to get our humanity back, we have nothing to fight for. And so I just ask that anyone watching this and that all of us know that our fight is standing up for humanity. It's standing up for those who will be crushed otherwise, and joining together and showing in force and in mass and in peace that we will not be run over. We will not be terrified. We will not be scared. Your terrorism will not work on us. And to hold the ideals of what we see in a peaceful future and continue fighting for those things. You know, I always say, do no harm, but take no shit. And you know, I will always go in peace, but I will fight until the end for what I believe humanity can be. So I just want to thank you for allowing me to speak, Coco, Andy. You guys have become friends. I've seen you out in the streets. I found a wonderful, amazing community of people here. And I look forward to watching that passion and that drive continue to grow as we come together in solidarity against this fascist coup. So thank you guys.
That was Jody Sweeten, our final presenter, and I think a beautiful note to end on. Thank you, Jody. And I actually had a few closing comments, but maybe instead of those closing comments, what would be more fitting is if I read a little bit of the pledge, and then I'm going to allow Andy to close us out with any final comments. A pledge to the people of the world. In the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America. The Trump-Pence regime must go. We will speak, we will stand, we will shout and march together. We pledge to stop a regime that imperils the people of the world and the earth itself. We will take to the streets and call forth others. We demand Trump-Pence out now. We will not stop until they're gone. We do not comply with putting targets on the backs of Black, Brown, and Native people, denying women control of their bodies, forcing LGBTQ people back into the closet. We do not accept a society ruled by hate and bigotry, ignorance and brutality, demeaning and cursing other peoples and countries, and threatening them with destruction. There can be no more children torn from parents and locked in cages, no more fire and fury from the mouth of a demented bully with his finger on the nuclear trigger, no more mass COVID death from science-hating lunacy, no more law and order of official terror by bullets, batons, and tear gas. No longer can we live with howling mobs resurrecting Jim Crow, fascist thugs attacking our protests, the right to vote stolen by defenders of the Confederacy. We will not worship the flag or accept a theocracy. We will not become collaborators on a march to a racist genocide. We will not hand the future to scorchers of the planet. 13 more days and it could be too late to change the course of history as the Trump-Pence regime sabotages the election and drags humanity to the edge of extinction. Here and now, we pledge to unite in our millions, rising together in nonviolent resistance to stop a great horror. We pledge to stay in the streets, overcoming fear and uncertainty until this American fascism is brought to a halt. We pledge our determination to prevail over a regime that imperils the people of the world and the earth itself. In the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America. So thank you all again. Andy, do you want to say any last words?
I can only, I just want to echo what has been our watchword through all of this, along with our demand that Trump and Pence must go, in the name of humanity. Not for ourselves, not just for Americans, but in the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America, fully cognizant of what role it plays in the world and what role it plays here. So all I can say is what has been said by so many on this call, that we have to act. And in order for it to happen, look, we've got big arms. We've got really big arms. People can come into this protest from many different points of view. I'd be happy if the Never Trumpers came. Really, I'd be very happy if they came. I know their perspective is very different than mine. Well, we'll have that discussion at Dialogue, but we have to stand against this. But we need you here. Each of you would send a message or a text or an email, who you think you can reach in the next 48 hours. Are you willing to do press work if we can put you on a list of people? And you don't have to just say what Refuse Fascism says. All you have to say is what you've already said here today and from your perspective. And then there's some of you I want to talk to about whether or not what we're calling for is possible in some cities. You know, particularly I'm concerned about Washington. I would want to protest there, but I want to be sure that we can do that without going head to head with these fascists who are enraged. So we need, we're going to need to offline and assess whether what's possible in Washington or how to do something in the surrounding area. I don't know the answer to that. But in other cities, we have to figure it out. In Los Angeles, as you said, they're doing a car caravan because COVID is here is just unbelievable. You can't even get into a hospital if you are sick. In fact, if you're very sick, they're not taking you anymore. You're on your own. So it's going to be different conditions in different cities. But I do want to implore everyone here to throw in and let's see if at this 11th hour, we can pull a lot of people out. It won't just be for the next 13 days. It is setting a course for what is going to be happening that's going on. And Ruchira brought that forward in terms of what happened in India in very living terms. And that was what will happen here in an American form with a far devastating consequence, by the way, on the rest of the world than what India does on the rest of the world. Not that India is a small place, but far greater consequence, including in India, for what we do here. So just thank all of you again. And in the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America.
Thanks for listening. If you made it to this point, then I don't have to tell you it's an emergency. You are needed. Join us in the streets tomorrow, Saturday, January 9th, and spread the word far and wide. Go to refusefascism.org for more information. You can click the donate button while there or Venmo refuse-fascism. We'll be back with another episode on Sunday. Make sure you're subscribed to this podcast and tell your friends who have questions about how we got into this mess and how we get out to listen to some of the shows we've put together this past year with experts and thinkers, including Jason Stanley, author of How Fascism Works, Sarah Posner, author of Unholy, Why White Evangelicals Worship at the Altar of Donald Trump, Jeff Charlotte, author of The Family, Andrea Chalupa, host of Gaslit Nation, and many more. In the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America. Trump Pence, out now. See you in the streets tomorrow.